Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Come on.
Come on. Thanks for listening to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. My number is 888-914-9149. We have a line or two open, so this would be your perfect opportunity to zoom in and grab one. 888-914-9149. Also, I invite you, we all invite you here at Relevant Radio, to complete your Lenten journey with Close to Jesus to the Last, a five-day spiritual walkthrough of Jesus' final days before his passion. Father Rocky will be guiding you, and he will pause for an hour. We will pause here at Relevant Radio for an hour at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central Time each day to ponder the events that draw Jesus to Jerusalem, exploring each with especially selected music and prayers. This is going to be a great way to finish strong. Maybe your Lent has been a bit wobbly, perhaps, and you had great intentions and you settled on a fast of some sort, something you were going to give up for Lent, maybe some good things that you were going to do extra, and maybe you didn't kind of do it as well as you wanted to. Well, you can finish strong, and this is one way to do it. Close to Jesus to the Last is a reverent transition from Lent to Easter, and it happens all next week on Relevant Radio. So that's 11 to 6 Central, right here on Relevant Radio. Got an email, and I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think it was in the last few days that the follow-up email came. And this is from Jerry, a listener. He says, Patrick, the best way to send a message to Twitter is to stop using it. Cancel your account. Then you will not continue advertising for Twitter numerous times a day by encouraging people to Twitter you. Instead, announce your email address on the air many, many times during your broadcast. Say, if you are allowed, and of course, I think, and if you think it wise, you canceled your Twitter account. The same message can be given to Facebook and Amazon. Cancel Facebook account. Cancel your Amazon Prime account if you have one. Stop using Amazon services. Stop advertising for Twitter. All of these firms will only change course if millions stop using them. Their stocks will tank just as Twitter's did yesterday and today after banning President Trump. This is his first letter from whatever it was last year. He reportedly had 88 million followers. Please stop advertising for Twitter. That's from Jerry. So I responded, no, Twitter is a useful tool. Thanks, though. And then he responded, don't be surprised when they cut you and Relevant Radio off. Silencing freedom of thought and freedom of expression is their goal. You can be confident that what you and Relevant Radio espouse and do so well are an incredible resource, certainly for Catholics and all Christians, that these things are at odds with Twitter's thinking. Don't think that they don't want to shut you down now if they are aware of you and Relevant Radio. They just have higher priorities right now. And of course, he says, I learned last night on Tucker, a guy named Brandon Stroka, founder of the Walk Away From Democrats founder, has been removed from Facebook along with all his contributors, and I'm sure many others we are unaware of. Once their stock tanks, they will change their ways and you can rejoin and advertise for them. Now they are your slave master. I'm confident you now think twice when you post something on Twitter because Twitter may deem it out of step with their thinking. Unfortunately, just about everything you say and stand for is out of step with their thinking. And he signs off again, Jerry. Jerry, well, first of all, thank you for your thoughtful emails, both the earlier one and this one. I maintain the same position that I said in my earlier response to you, which is that all of what you said notwithstanding, and I do agree that Twitter is it's not free speech. And some will argue, well, free speech really only applies to public venues or public institutions that we have free speech. I don't know if that's necessarily the correct way of interpreting our right to free speech. I don't think it extends solely to the public sphere. But, well, let's grant the fact that it's a private platform like Facebook. And so private organizations do have more latitude when it comes to screening what people can say and do. For example, there are plenty of things that you'll never hear on Relevant Radio that are inconsistent with the gospel, something inconsistent with the teachings of Jesus or the Catholic Church. You won't hear that. That's a form of restricting free speech. People don't have unrestricted free speech. So I understand that. But I am, number one, not advertising for Twitter, as opposed to saying I'm making use of this tool in a way that can help people. And not just me. I mean, there are people who have far greater reach than I do on Twitter who are doing very good things. And because the vast majority of people are going to be on Twitter anyway, I take it as partly a reason for doing this is that I want to stay behind with the people who are left behind. If those people are left behind on social media and they don't know necessarily all the problems with social media, and if I can seek to help them through that social media, I'm going to do that. And take a look, for example, at the Roman Empire at the time of St. Peter and St. Paul. So we've got, you know, you're in the first century. And the Emperor Nero, who was the first one to start up with the Christians, he blamed the Christians for a conflagration that he himself was in some way responsible for that burned down half of Rome. And he needed a scapegoat, so he blamed the Christians. And he began a persecution, a very terrible, bloody persecution of Christians. Well, what you'll notice is that not only did Saints Peter and Paul get caught up in that, and they both wound up being martyred as a result of it, but what you'll notice is that they had gone directly to the heart of the problem. The problem, from a pagan standpoint, was the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was decadent and brutal and violent and very sexualized and unjust. And there were countless moral problems that existed in ancient Rome. And that's where the apostles went. They didn't stay at a distance and say, we're going to boycott Rome. We're not going to speak Latin. We're not going to engage in trade or buy stuff in Rome. We're not going to do anything that will help them. We're going to stay at a distance and let Rome collapse. No, that's not what they did. They collapsed Rome by going there. They went into the center. I know this will make Cyrus happy. They went to the Death Star, and they got into the Death Star, and they preached the gospel, and they wound up converting after they died, of course. They wound up winning. So although it's not necessarily a perfect analogy, Jerry, I find it's a serviceable analogy. And whether it's Facebook or Twitter, there's a good reason to remain there and to be a bright light shining in what could be and would be a very dark place otherwise. Maybe you've heard me talk about this on the program before, but I advocate that we need to form lay people, certainly, but even perhaps priests and religious sisters who can be missionaries in the world of TikTok. I mean, it's already happening in, say, YouTube, and perhaps to some extent in Instagram and other platforms like that. Those are not real places, but they're places where people hang out. It's kind of a virtual place. And we need to have the truth there. And Twitter is no exception to that. So again, no, I don't agree with you. I agree with some of the points you're making, that's for sure. But I don't agree with the way to go about fixing it. And so that's why you'll hear me say, find me on Twitter at Patrick Madrid, because there are a lot of people who are searching for the Lord and they don't even know that they're about to find him on Twitter. They may come across a link to the show or some other show here on Relevant Radio and start listening. And they wouldn't have found it if I had pulled back from Twitter, if Relevant Radio had pulled back from Twitter. Sure, I'm sure that if I were at a board meeting and who's that? What's his name with the weird beard? I guess he's gone now. Elon Musk is in control, it seems. He bought like close to 10% of the company in the last few days. So we'll see if things get better. Maybe they will. I don't know. But I'm sure that if I was in a board meeting and that, you know, that guy with the weird beard, Jack, whatever his name is, and all the others, if they were to be grilling me, they probably would see me as, you know, you're exactly the kind of guy that we want to deplatform. We have to figure out a way to do that. Okay, whatever. But I'm just doing my thing. I'm just sharing the truth as best I can. And I think there's some good that can come out of it. So, no, I appreciate the thought and the thoughtfulness. But as Hall & Oates would say, I can't go for that. And I know Cyrus wants to play that song. Don't play that song. Maybe play it at the break. 888-914-9149. Let's get back to the phones. Jennifer in San Bernardino, thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning, Patrick. Thank you for your show and all of your ministry.
Thank you.
I had a question about summer camp. I have a summer camp that I'm familiar with and comfortable with for my daughters, but for my son to go away for the first time, I'm a little nervous as a new mom. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at St. Michael's Abbey. It's the Brotherhood of St. Dismas and Norbertine Fathers. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about them, or just looking for some assurance, or if you have any suggestions on how to make sure a summer camp is safe. Obviously looking for something Catholic.
Okay. Well, you came to the right place because, number Yay. One, back in the day, 1970, 71, 72, maybe 73, I went to St. Michael's summer camp as a lad. And this is back in the days when St. Michael's Abbey, the earlier one, because they've outgrown that abbey, so they built a magnificent new abbey not far away, but it's much bigger. And they've already outgrown that one now. That's how well the Norbertine Fathers are doing. I can't give you enough superlatives about them. They're excellent, very well-formed, very faithful men. They're very orthodox, nothing goofy, nothing silly going on over there. It's just this rock-solid order, and I'm happy to be able to recommend people to them, not only for the summer camp for their boys, but also religious vocations, you know, for young men who are considering the priesthood. Check them out for sure. So yes, two thumbs up with a snap of the fingers, and also for the summer camp. It's really good. I know from experience, and Nancy and I sent our sons to St. Michael's summer camp there, and our grandsons, I think, are now going to St. Michael's summer camp. So it's a family affair. It's a tradition now in the Madrid family. And I can give you nothing but thumbs up on St. Michael's summer camp and the Norbertine Fathers.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
How old is your son?
He is 10, and his twin is a girl. And so my girls go to Sacred Heart camp up in Big Bear where I grew up.
Okay.
And so for him to go away for the first time by himself without his sisters, just gave me some pause. So
it probably, if you know, the average 10-year-old kid, it could break either way. He might be like super excited and ready to go. He might have a little bit of homesickness. That does happen sometimes. But I'll tell you, one of the things that even when I was a kid and there were kids who were homesick, the Norbertine Fathers are experts at adolescent boy psychology. They understand what these guys are into. What do they like? What do they want to do? So if you don't mind, I'll give you some examples. We were taught by the frauders. The frauders are the seminarians or men in formation who have not yet been ordained. And I remember getting a little crash course in how to catch tarantulas. So you'd find the because the tarantula holes are all over the place. Now, maybe in the new abbey, they don't have as much, you know, of that open space. I don't know. But in the old abbey, there was this place called Indian Hill, and there was a tent that was pitched on top of Indian Hill. And one group of boys each night would be allowed to camp out in that tent. Everyone else was in the dorms. And I think they would just cycle through. And you could sleep, I don't know, 8 or 10 boys in one of these tents. And so every night it would be a different group. And the Indians would attack the tent in the middle of the night. And it was, you know, just some of the frauders, some of the seminarians. All good, clean fun. It was a lot of fun. Good memories kind of thing. And so I got this lesson on how to catch tarantulas. You take a cup of water and you go out and you find a tarantula hole. You have an empty cup and a cup of water. You get up by the tarantula hole, you pour the water in, the tarantula comes out and goes into your empty cup. Now you've got a tarantula. And what 10-year-old boy would not have fun catching tarantulas? I did. Stink bug races. There are plenty of stink bugs out there. All kinds of crazy boy fun that I'm sure your son will enjoy. And
yes, that's what appealed to me as well. Their very busy schedule looked like it kept them on their feet and go, 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 which I really appreciated. It received a lot of energy.
Yeah, that's true. They have daily mass. They have opportunities for confession, swimming, hiking, camping out. Now, naturally, between then and now, I'm sure a lot of changes have been made. But I know from my son's going, and now that my grandsons are going to be going, I know that it's the same kind of fun. So I think you can rest assured it's going to be a great experience for him.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah. And call me back and let me know. Maybe he can tell you how many tarantulas he catches when if they're still doing that. Have you ever caught a tarantula, Cyrus?
No, I'm...
I can show you how to do it.
That's fine. I'm okay.
You're okay?
Yeah, I hate snakes. I hate spiders like you hate snakes. Mm. I'm thinking about this Indian hill, and I bet they don't call it that anymore.
You know, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, and Indians raiding at night. I mean, that is good. It is good, clean fun.
It's like just, Cowboys and Indians movies.
It's amazing. You know? It's fun, and kids loved... I loved doing that kind of stuff. But now I wonder how many people's ears perked up. I'm like, I'm not sending my kid to that. I'm going to keep my kid at home on TikTok because that's dangerous, sending him to some camp.
TikTok, of course, is very safe.
you see my point.
I do. No, the political correctness, certainly you're right about that. And it may have triggered some people. But things were normal in 1972. And people didn't freak out over things that people tend to freak out over now. So, yeah, I guess you're right about that. You did it. You did it in a minute. See how I'm playing three-dimensional chess with you? I just quoted the title of another Hall & Oates song.
That was good.
And it fit.
It fit. You might be the best. With my help, you could be the best.
You did it in a minute. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to, Mark in Alvin, Texas. It's good to have you on the program.
Hey. Hey, Patrick. Thanks. You're great. Best talk radio going.
Thank you. Thank you.
And my comment is, and you always get some real good subjects. I've been a CCE teacher. I've done a prison ministry for 10 years. And I don't hate people with tattoos, but I really do hate tattoos. And the reason I do is because I've been in the service business for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And it's not smart to get a tattoo. It's not.
Yeah, and because it can close some doors, right?
I don't know why the church... Yes, correct. And I don't know why the church does not speak out more against it. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that people with tattoos are bad. That's the typical liberal comeback. I didn't say that. I said it's not a good idea to get one, and I wish the church would say it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the church says that we are not to violate the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, by doing something that would harm the body. And it can be argued that when you get that tattoo dye in you, it's not good for your body. I don't know if it's ever like seriously harmful. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit for those who are baptized. So to deface the body, and I'm using the term deface carefully because I know people who have tattoos, they're very proud of them because it's Our Lady of Guadalupe or it's a cross or Jesus or something like that. And I've been told by some that it's their way of evangelizing. And I can understand that. I feel like you do. I don't think that tattoos are a good idea. I think they're often the source of regret later on. The tattoo that you think is really cool now, you may not think it's so cool when you're, older. And like you said, trying to get a job, sometimes things that seem cool in the moment wind up being real problems. So I'm with you. I agree with you on that part, Mark. But why doesn't the church speak out against it? Because the church doesn't and has never taught that getting a tattoo is itself a sin. And maybe that's part of the reason why you're not going to hear a sermon about that. But I would add, for good measure, that the church does teach that pride is a sin and vanity is a form of pride. And I dare say that many people get tattoos out of vanity. So the motive for getting a tattoo can indeed be sinful. You know those guys that work out at the gym all the time, Mark? You know, the big bulging biceps. And, if you notice that they always go out of their way to wear tight-fitting T-shirts or T-shirts with the sleeves rolled up or very short sleeves. And the reason is because they want everybody to see those biceps. They want to see their guns. Well, I can't judge anyone's heart, but from where I stand, that's a form of pride. I mean, you want people to ogle you and admire your body. And it's one thing to want your hair combed and to look presentable and to be, dressed in a nice way. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it goes beyond that so that you're getting puffed up literally and figuratively, I guess, in the case of bodybuilding, or the tattoo is designed to show just how bad you are, how how whatever, I think that does stray into that category. So maybe the church, and by the church, I think what you mean is the average parish priest, might talk about that in terms of, well, what's your motive for getting a tattoo? If you're in the 82nd Airborne, and it's part of the rite of passage when you get out of boot camp to get an 82nd Airborne tattoo, oh, okay, that's different, I guess. But if you're tattooing your body or piercing it, and these body modifications, if they're solely for the purpose of other people admiring you, then yeah, I think that there should be more discussion about why that's a problem. That's my take.
Well, you know, a lot of people will say, and they'll say it in the blink of an eye too, well, it's my body. Well, you know what? I didn't give myself my body. And I think the mm-hmm. church teaches that, you know, it's not your body. Mm-hmm. It's somebody gave you that body, you know. Mm-hmm. Your body's a temple. And I know that we all abuse our bodies, but do you have to put it in writing?
Well, there are people listening right now. There are people who are listening right now who are devout Christians who do have tattoos, and they're offended by this because they do not see this as something problematic. They see it as something, it's a value added for them, especially, I think, younger people. They see this as, well, it's part of the culture. This is what everyone does. It's cool. People like it. And maybe an example of this, it's not really an exact example, but in my generation, long hair was kind of a symbol of that's how guys wore their hair. They just wore their hair long. I wore my hair long, down to my shoulders anyway. I look back on it now, and I think it was kind of silly how I wore my hair in high school. But that's, you know, that was a cultural thing, and everyone did it. But you can cut your hair. And in the case of a tattoo, yeah. I mean, you can't easily reverse that. So it's not an exact analogy. But as I look back on it now, I don't think that wearing your hair long was necessarily a good or a bad thing. It was trendy. But for the purposes of marking your body, or worse yet, piercing it, it's a form of mutilation, and the church says that that's wrong. So not ear piercings. I'm not talking about, you know, women who get their ears pierced, but rather people who you know, they just overdo it. It winds up looking strange. Let me suggest, Mark, if you don't mind, we have to take a break. I'm lost in break land here. Yeah, we have to take a break. When I come back, I am going to recommend a free article on the topic of body art and tattoos. What does the church say about it? What does the Bible say about it? And it's a free download, and I'll tell you what it is and where to get it when we come back from this overdue break right here on the Patrick Madrid Show. 888-914-9149. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Mark, and I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Today's show brought to you in part by Sony Pictures production Father Stu. This biopic shares the conversion and ordination of Stuart Long in movie theaters nationwide on April 13th.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Did you see that picture that Cale Clark posted on Twitter last night? He and I went to dinner, talked shop, and he posted a picture of the two of us in the booth. And his caption was, "Just a couple of dudes chewing the fat. Always a treat to hang out with Patrick Madrid." Well, thank you, young man. Thank you. We had a nice time. It was an enjoyable evening. And my response to it was, "I'm just glad you didn't tweet this out as two fat dudes chewing." Oh, my. Okay, the article. I promised I would give an article, and here it is. So the article is called Tattoo You, or Physical Graffiti, A Catholic Perspective on tattoos, piercings, and body art. Physical graffiti. Those of you who are music files, you'll probably know what that's a reference to. It was written by Deacon Robert Lukash. I haven't been in touch with him in quite a long time, but this was written about 11 years ago. He, at the time, was a deacon, and may still be a deacon, in the Archdiocese of Portland, Oregon. And the initial sort of squib that I wrote as the editor of Envoy magazine was, every day across the United States, indeed throughout the world, men and women, boys and girls, get themselves tattooed and pierced, and not just their ears. They are participating in the modern fad of body art, which has its origins in antiquity, but which in recent decades has developed into some extreme forms that are often quite disturbing. So the article is free. Cyrus is going to post a link to it for you, and that'll be on Twitter. And you'll be able to find it there. Also on the show Twitter feed, it's very good, and it's very beautifully, well, I shouldn't say beautifully, because some of the tattoos that it shows are not particularly beautiful, if you ask me. But it is a very good analysis of the problem. There is a problem with getting tattoos. I will put it that way. There is a problem with it, and the problem is, basically, if you're doing it for the purposes of vanity, vanity is a sin. It's a form of pride. Now, again, for those who, you know, heard me talking about this before the break, if you didn't hear that, a caller called in and expressed his disdain for tattoos. Not for people who have tattoos, but just for tattoos. And my point on this was that most of the time, at least it seems to me, that people get tattoos in places that are visible because they want people to admire them. And that's different from you combing your hair or having your hair done if you're a lady, and wearing clothes that are nice and presentable, piercing your ears if you're a woman. I mean, these are not things that I'm talking about. I mean, there's a certain kind of decorum that I think is a good thing, that we should, if we can, is a way to show respect for other people, like a special occasion or going to church or something like that. It's a good thing if you can show respect that way by presenting yourself well. Jesus talked about, like, the wedding garment in the Gospels, going to the wedding, and there was a man who wasn't wearing the wedding garment. What was the wedding garment? It was dressing up. It was a special occasion kind of garment. You didn't wear it to any old place, but you would wear the garment as a sign of your respect for the couple that was getting married, because it was special. So there is a time and place for this, I do believe, but I really think it goes way beyond that for many people, because they have succumbed to a culture which glorifies things that are not worthy of glorification. You know, I always wonder to myself when I see somebody who has a skull cross tattooed, let's say. It's not maybe all that common, but it's common enough. And I wonder, well, what is the message? What are you trying to say? What is the message here? So anyway, this article, Physical Graffiti, A Catholic Perspective on Tattoos and Piercings and Body Arts, that is an article that I think will be well worth anyone's time to read. Cyrus is going to tweet it, and it'll be on the show page, which is relevantradio.com/Patrick. Now, I want to share with you something else that I just recently became aware of. In fact, I only became aware of it this morning. A friend of mine sent me this information, and it's dated March 16th. So, you know, it's a little bit... It happened a few weeks ago, but I didn't know about this. And it directly affects me, and it probably directly affects you. This is being reported by Reuters as of the 16th of March. Citigroup has announced that they're covering travel expenses for abortions as U.S. states curb access to abortion. Now, keep in mind, this is written in a secular news outlet, so it's not going to be necessarily friendly or respectful to how you might feel as a pro-lifer and the words that you might use. But I'm just going to read it as Reuters has it here. And my thanks and a shout out to my friend Ben, who sent this to me. Citigroup has started covering travel expenses for its employees who go out of state for abortions because of newly enacted restrictions in Texas and other places, becoming the first major U.S. bank to make that commitment. The new policy is in response to changes in reproductive health care laws. They won't say the word abortion, will they? They just won't bring themselves to say it. Health care and abortion are two different things. Abortion is not health care. Let's put it that way. But anyway, Reuters says the filing said that travel benefits are to facilitate access to adequate resources, and it did not specifically mention abortion. City will cover transportation and lodging for employees who need to leave the state, such as Texas, for abortions, according to a person familiar with the matter. City has taken stances on controversial issues before, including in 2018, when it enacted restrictions on its clients who sell firearms following several U.S. mass shootings. More and more companies are being forced to take stands on issues because of the demands of some stakeholders that antagonize other stakeholders, said Whitehold Hennies, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business. Millennial workers and consumers demand that companies take stands to look to their CEOs, especially where the government has failed to act or taken a stand of which they disapprove. This will continue to grow as a strategic challenge for companies, according to Hines. Several states with Republican-led legislatures are passing new abortion limits in anticipation that the U.S. Supreme Court will likely undercut constitutional abortion protections this year. Cyrus, can we get a little bit of mood music, please, to talk about abortion? We need to set the tone. A little bit of ambiance, a little mood music. Yeah. Yeah, this is really good mood music to talk about abortion. Yeah. It kind of gets you in the mood to talk about abortion, doesn't it? All right. I'm in the mood now. And I'm going to quickly get out of the mood as fast as I can. So FYI, I just found out about this. And my reaction to my buddy who sent me this information was, dang. I have a city card. I've had a credit card. I've had one for years. I earn airline miles on it. And airline miles are great, as you probably know, because if you need to go visit grandma or there's some other thing that you need a plane ticket for, it's nice to be able to have free plane tickets because your miles on the credit card will accrue them for you. We've been doing that for years. But Citibank has shown itself to be part of the culture of death.
Could it be?
Yeah. So, what you going to do if you're carrying a Citibank card in your wallet? I'm not going to say what's in your wallet. I'm not going to say that because I don't want to shill for whoever that is. What are you going to do if you have a Citibank card like I do in your wallet or your purse? Or if you bank at Citibank? A lot of people do. It's a huge banking conglomerate. It's gigantic. Tentacles everywhere. And I never really gave it any thought. We talked about Disney earlier in the program today. A gentleman called up and asked about, well, what do you do? Do you boycott Disney? Do you stop listening to Michael Jackson music because Disney owns it now? And I said, well, as St. Paul said, test all things and hold fast to that which is good. But now that you know, and I thought to myself, because I asked my friend, I said, can you send me a link? Because maybe somebody saw it on Twitter or someplace, and not everything that glitters is gold, and not everything you see on social media is true. And he very promptly sent me a link to this article from Reuters. So there it is in black and white. Citi is saying, hey, employees, here's an added benefit. Not casual Friday, not extra sick day time, but if you want to kill your unborn child, we're going to pay for it.
Added benefit?
Yeah, it's an added benefit.
Right.
You might call it a death benefit. They gave their employees a death benefit. That's what it really is. It's a death benefit. So if you want to kill your unborn child, they're going to pay for your transportation. You need a plane ticket to get to New York or to California or some other place where they're more than happy to have you come to their state so that you can wantonly kill your unborn child. If you need a plane ticket, Citibank's going to cover that cost for the employee. Women employees, by the way. Men can't have abortions because men can't have babies. Just don't forget that. In the culture in which we live right now, people, they want to talk about pregnant people. The only pregnant people are women. Do we have that minister? Let's get the minister queued up. Well, maybe we'll come back to him at some point. But I'm asking you the same question that I had to answer for myself, and that is, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue to support a company that so brazenly is pushing back against unborn human life and being so brazenly on the wrong side of history or are you going to cut the card? That's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to cut the card. Not the cord, but the card. And I'm going to let them know why I'm not going to keep. And I like the Citibank card. I've had it for, you know, a long time. Excellent track record with it. It's got me many free plane tickets over the years. But comes a point where you either have to go along to get along, or you just say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Bye-bye,
Citibank. Cyrus will get a link to this Reuters article so you can, you know, read up on it yourself. But that would be my advice. You know, just consider that anyway. 888-914-9149. Break time. We'll do that. We'll come back to your phone calls. If you've been getting a busy signal, there is one line that just opened up. I think somebody got tired of holding. So just call that number now, 888-914-9149, and we'll get you on the air with your comment or question. We'll be right back. Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
All right. Got a nasty gram, Cyrus. Just came in.
Uh-oh.
Just rolled in.
Uh-oh.
Don't change the music. I like this. Beatles beats Battlestar Galactica.
Fact.
Yeah. Okay, this comes in from Anne. Anne is apparently listening. I hope you're still listening, Anne. Patrick, you will continue to use Twitter for your own selfish reasons. Publicity. Isn't it possible that social media is a false god? That's all in caps, by the way. Jerry is spot on with his comments. You can be arrogant in your responses at times, and this is one of those times. Humble yourself and actually listen. Twitter is junk, and you choose to support your platform behind the guise of spreading the word of our Lord? So very disappointing and sad. Sincerely, Anne. Well, Anne, first of all, thank you. I do appreciate, and I mean this sincerely, I do appreciate you taking time, but come on, Anne. I think, if I had to guess, I think you're mad at Twitter because they deplatformed Donald Trump. I'm guessing here. I'm reading between the lines. I think that would probably be the reason, if I had to guess, that you're angry with Twitter. But I'll bet that when Donald Trump was on Twitter, you thought it was pretty good, if I had to guess. So, no, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm sorry you're sad and all of those things. But I gave my reasons for why I think it's important to continue to be on social media. And if you think that it's because of my selfish reasons and I want publicity, you're welcome to think that. That's up to you. Whatever you want. And again, thank you for taking a moment to write to me. 888-914-9149. Let's go to, where are we going? Let's go to Susan in Umatilla, Florida. Am I saying the name correctly? I think it is correct, right? Umatilla?
Umatilla.
Ah, I was so close.
Yes.
Well, welcome, Ann. Susan.
Thank you. Good. Thank you, Patrick. Good morning to you and Cyrus. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I became Catholic in 2011, and I love my Catholic faith. And I've learned so much more listening to you on your program than I ever learned in RICA. I mean, you get the basics there, but they don't teach you, you know, quite as much as I've learned from listening to you. So my problem is, my son has a same-sex relationship, and he was married before, and his wife, we just lost her last year to cancer. And so in the last 11 years they were married, I was part of the family because I was there helping a lot. He had a lot of health issues also. So at Christmas, so in December, I went out to spend Christmas with he. They had a 9-year-old son. I figured it would be a hard time for him, and I knew he had made a new friend. Well, the friend turned out to be a guy, and it's a same-sex relationship. And I was upset that he had moved on from his wife so soon, but also for the relationship. 20 years ago, he had one, and I was not in the faith like I am now, and I was more accepting of it.
He had one what?
My son, and I loved him. Same-sex relationship 20 years ago.
Okay.
And so it was very hard for me. I wasn't ready for him to move on to even to anybody. And so I'm just, you know, he lives in Arizona and I'm back and forth a lot. I just don't know how to accept how our relationship now. Am I still able? I felt bad being in the house when this guy was there because I felt like I was being a part of this. And I told him, I said, this is a mortal sin. He is a fallen away Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I feel like you're making me a part of this mortal sin. But then, you know, it's been 3 months now, and my daughter and I have talked about it, and I've come to the conclusion, and I read some articles, you know, you still love them the same. They're still part of the family. You don't participate in some things with them. Am I still go stay at his house with him and this guy? Are they welcome to come stay with us? Or how do you handle this, Patrick?
Well, thankfully, in my own case, I haven't had to deal with this. And I can say yet. I mean, I don't foresee it happening, but anything's possible. People grow up and people make decisions. And as a parent or grandparent, you can be heartbroken at the decisions that they make and be powerless to do anything about it. So although I don't have personal experience in that regard, at least not yet anyway, my instinct would be to say that you're doing the right thing by speaking the truth in love to your son. You're right, it is a mortal sin. And it's clearly something that is leading him away from God, not toward salvation. And as his mother, obviously you hope and pray that he will come to his senses and turn away from this before it's too late. There's a gentleman, his name is Joseph Chambra, Ciambra. He maintains a blog with many very insightful articles. He himself was deeply, deeply, deeply involved in the gay male lifestyle to the point of even doing pornographic movies and things like that, but he had a profound conversion or reconversion, and he has spent the last however many years doing what he can to reach out to those lost sheep. So he goes to the Pride marches, and he goes to places where people in this lifestyle congregate, and he witnesses to them, and he shares the truth of the faith with them, and that there is a solution to what they think is a lifestyle choice, and he's a living example of this. It's amazing what he does, and I would encourage you, maybe you could begin by looking up his blog, Joseph Chambra. It might even be josephchambra.com, but his last name is spelled Ciambra. I've talked to him on the phone a few times. He's got an amazing story, and it's not amazing like, oh, it's really exciting. It's a very dramatic story and filled with some really deep, dark things. But he came out of that by the grace of God, and he's been liberated from it. And so I look to him as an example of somebody who's got the courage to be able to speak the truth in love and not denounce, but to to reason with people and help them see. So maybe that could be a good first step, would be to do that. Then there's another book or another resource. It's a book. And I'm, Cyrus, maybe you can look this up for me. It's called Making Gay Okay. I think it's Robert Riley, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's published by Ignatius Press. I have the book in my library. But it's an analysis of how this has been promoted so widely through the media, through movies, through social media, etc. And that can help you have an understanding maybe of some of the background to all this. Is that the name of the book, Making Gay Okay? And is it Robert Riley?
That's right.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so Robert Riley, the author, I would check that book out. Now, a third resource I can recommend to you, Susan, both for you and for your son at the point when he's ready and willing to consider it, would be a group called Courage. CourageRC.org is their website. It's a Catholic organization that ministers to men and women who are struggling with same-sex attraction.
I'm sorry, Patrick. Courage what?
CourageRC.org.
Okay.
Yeah. CourageRC.org. So they have many resources, including opportunities for meeting and having the support of other people who are going through something similar. And it has helped many people from everything I've heard about this. Now, there is a support group within Courage. It's called Encourage for family members. So not for those who are themselves suffering from same-sex attraction, but for those who want to support and love those who are and help them to live lives of chastity and purity. And that's what we're all called to, whether homosexual or heterosexual. All of us are called to the same thing. And so there is a support that's built in for there for them. Now, one of the offerings that they have is a movie called Desire of the Everlasting Hills. And it's a movie, it's not like a movie that's acted. It's people who are themselves same-sex attracted who are discussing their own journey and their own struggle. And they do so not in a way that's going to titillate the imagination, but rather to show the power of God's grace and forgiveness and how God has worked in their own lives. So perhaps you could send a link to that website to your son and say, please take a look at this. Here are people who are in the same situation you are, and they have a message for you. And I hope you'll consider their message, and maybe he will. Maybe he would be willing to watch that movie or watch some of those videos. Couldn't hurt, right?
No, but sure couldn't. So in the meantime, should I still go stay with him?
I wouldn't.
You know, that's the thing.
I wouldn't.
Okay, that's
not only would I not go stay there, I would not allow the two of them to stay with you because they're going to stay as a couple.
Right.
Yeah. And so that winds up being a kind of tacit acquiescence on your part. Now, this is different. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying like don't feed them if they came over and they were hungry and, you know, you wanted to serve dinner or something. I'm not saying just don't show any human kindness at all. I'm not saying that. But this,
I understand that. Yeah.
Okay. You understand what I'm saying then.
I mean, they could still be a part of a family activity, but not spend the night.
There are many ways to handle it. And I advocate love and compassion. Love and compassion.
Right.
You know, love your son as you do. You love him. Show him compassion. Show him forgiveness. Let him know, and you probably already have, but for the benefit of those who are in maybe a similar situation, let him know that because he's your son, you'll always love him, and you love him for who he is. You don't love some of the things he does, but if your son were if your son were heterosexual and he were a serial philanderer, maybe cheating on his wife or just, you know, going through one girl after another sexually, you could say, I love you, but what you're doing is wrong. And you're taking yourself to hell by doing this. Let's say he was a roaring drunk and he was, you know, dealing drugs or who knows what else he might be doing. And you would say the same thing. I love you. I love you for who you are. You're my son. I'll never stop loving you. You can't even earn my love because I love you. But because I love you, I'm telling you, you need to stop drinking or you need to stop fooling around. You know, in other words, unconditional love does not mean unconditional acquiescence in what the person is doing. It never has meant that. Certainly not how God relates to you and to me. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. And that's the essence of the gospel, is that because God loves you, he wants you to be free and not enslaved to your passions and vices. And Jesus shows us the way to overcome that, but he won't force you to do it. He shows you how, but he won't force you how to do it, and nor can you force your son. So in a way, you're sort of mirroring the love and compassion of the Lord. You love him, you're compassionate, you want nothing more than his happiness, but you can't force him to do that, and if he won't do what's necessary to be happy, then you have to stand by brokenhearted as he goes down that road.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate your insight so much.
You're welcome. I wish I had something a little more cheerful, but you know, there's always hope and encouragement when it comes to God. God's grace is more powerful than our sins, and you can hang your hat on that.
We are praying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, his sister and I and his other brother, we're praying for him every day.
That's good. Yeah, keep praying. Pray the rosary. Pray the novena, Our Lady of Undoer of Knots. There's so many prayer tools you can bring to bear on this. Can it really be that hour two is done? I can't imagine how quickly that went by. Well, thank you, Susan. You have my prayers as well. And I'll be right back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app right after this quick timeout.